Yes, I do. Thank you. He's got it live already. Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to come and open the Word of God. And we've had the opportunity and the pleasure to pastor there in Freedom Baptist Church in Greenville for 4 years. And I never take the opportunity to open the Word of God for granted. It's a privilege, and I take that responsibility seriously. So thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Foster. And my Bible's open tonight to Psalm chapter 100. As Pastor mentioned, the change my message along the way, as the Lord will do at times. But we're going to be here in Psalm 100. We're going to stay put here, but I want to show you some things about praising the Lord. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you and a challenge, but really a reminder in many ways as well. Notice with me in Psalm 100, though, it's a familiar psalm. It's only five verses, so we'll read the whole five verses, and we'll just get started here tonight. Psalm 100, verse 1, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you now, Lord, as we open your word, as we've heard the reading of your word. Now, Lord, help us to apply it. Lord, as it's applied, as it's preached, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred closer to you. Lord, they'll be reminded of some things that we need tonight. Pray for hearts tonight. Pray for lives, spiritual conditions, whatever the need is, Lord. Lord, would you touch that heart? We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would say that by far we are the most blessed nation in all the world. You agree with that statement? And regardless of what comes and what goes and who they try to take out and all the things that go on in this country and the craziness that we've seen in this past week, we are the most blessed people on the planet. Now, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian first, but I'm also an American. Is that all right? Am I in the right place tonight? All right, I think I'm in the right place. But we are blessed. Just ask the millions of people that are trying to pour in to our borders, or many that have been successful under this administration, however you want to look at it. But we're a blessed nation. We're a free nation. And for those reasons, it is recognized as certainly the place to go. Even if we have those from within, and I'm not naive to the fact that we'll try to derail and do otherwise, and claim that this nation was founded by bad men. I've heard that argument too. I do find it interesting, though, that as much as they supposedly despise this nation and our founding fathers, they're still here. Have you noticed that? Yeah, I've noticed that too, but they're in no hurry to move to another nation. And don't forget, a few years back, and by the way, this is still being promoted to this day under the toe, but the tearing down of statues, you remember all of that going on? And the stepping stone for that, I found it very interesting. And even more interesting, when they interviewed some of these people at these rallies, they're pulling these down, and asked them why they wanted them removed, many of them couldn't even answer the question why they wanted them removed. But at the end of the day, I believe there was an agenda that was bigger than just some racial tension or some argument of these pulling downs. The motivation ultimately is that they can convince people that these men, the founding fathers, were really bad, right? And our history should be taken down, should be removed. And they already accomplished that in some places with some of our founding father statues, not just the Civil War, generals and things, but if we can accomplish that, think about this, then we can go after the Constitution. Because those are the guys that penned the Constitution. You see the connection? And so the progression is pretty clear to me. But despite their attempts, I'll reiterate, this is still the greatest nation in the world. Hands down. Don't let them convince you otherwise for a second, because they don't even believe it. Like I said, otherwise they'd be gone. But they're not. They're here. But they just follow this system. But as good as it is, and it is, as good as it is, you stack on top of that being a Christian. You stack on top of not just a Christian as the nation's slogan, by the way. Not just, the term a Christian nation. I'm not talking about that. But as a true believer of Jesus Christ, of those that have been truly, truly born again, we are beyond blessed. Are we beyond blessed? Yes, we're beyond blessed. I believe as we enter Psalm 100 this evening, we can allow this tremendous reminder of what we have in Jesus Christ. That's why I said I want it to be an encouragement to you, but I also want it to be a reminder. And as we take this time to hopefully clearly see, we'll be able to notice the riches and the truth of this psalm. It's a familiar psalm, I know. We too can leave here a even more blessed people, if that's possible. More than we walked in this door, if that's possible. Now, there's no other place I'd rather be at this moment than in the local church. I'm glad you're here this evening in the local church with God's people. Certainly with my family and with the new addition to our family and being able to come and to visit them, that certainly is a blessing. Maybe some others I've just met, others I've got reacquainted with as I've been here. It's been a few years now. But most importantly, with God himself, right? Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's what the Bible says. So we have much to consider, I believe, this evening as believers. Think about it. We have been saved from a place called hell. If you know him tonight, you've been saved. Eternal separation from God. That's what you've been saved from. Of course, that's reserved for those that will not submit to the gospel. Or as Hebrews says, would neglect the gospel. We have, as believers, we've been rescued from that fate through his atoning death. Am I pushing any buttons with you tonight? Oh, okay, I didn't know if you're awake because that's a sobering thought tonight. Through the ultimate sacrifice, through his victorious resurrection, right? That's how Paul described it in many other places. And that free offer that brought with it. Now, if that's not enough, we also have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Can I remind you of that? We have discernment, we have direction and comfort through his leading, right? Protection that he provides. Even the conviction that we need at times, the prompting when we need it the most. And then the victory and the assurance of a job well done. All of that is accomplished. All of that is restored with our Heavenly Father. Listen, even if there's no one else that recognizes or understands what you're going through, he's still there to receive and to forgive. And on top of that, right, we have readily available to us, through the Son himself, access in prayer to our Heavenly Father. We could do that tonight, right, as we speak. I mean, what more could we want? But wait, as the infomercial says, there's more, right? We have an entire family now. I'm looking at my family. I could go anywhere in the world tonight, and I come across brothers and sisters in Christ. You're my family, if you know him. And that creates a bond that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And it's an understood, it's a universal brotherhood and sisterhood, is it not? Oh, that spans every tongue, color, background, race, vocation, culture. I don't care where you come from. So it's amazing. It's a unique adoption that has now been available to all of us. That's a praise. But it's only been realized, it's only through that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1, I'm sure you know it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, he said, when I preached unto you, which ye have received, and where ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, I understand. Don't get me wrong. I understand you can be a blessed person and still not know Jesus Christ. You can live in this nation and reap the benefits of all the freedoms that we have in America and still not know Jesus Christ. But if you come to the saving knowledge of Christ, or if you know him already tonight, which I hope you do, we are tapping into a blessedness that is incomparable. And that changes everything, how we view literally our life. Or it should. We just sang together a few hymns of the faith. We opened up our hymnals and with salvation now, there is new life. There is new breath and message into them like you've never received or realized before. Amen. We don't sing the hymns like this. Oh, how wonderful. That ought not be the spirit of us as believers, right? We ought to be able to realize the words that we're singing. Now, you don't have to make a great sound. He said make a joyful noise, right? And so we're not looking for perfection. And then think about it. The very word of God becomes alive and powerful through the Holy Spirit. No longer are these just ink on paper bound in leather. No. It's the very message. It's the very instruction given to us from a holy, loving, but righteous God. And what we do with it all? God decided to leave that all up to us. He gave you a will. He gave me a will. And what we do with it all in relation to Jesus Christ makes all the difference heading into eternity. Make no mistake, we're all heading to eternity somewhere. You're going to be gone a lot longer than you were ever here. That's the idea, right? So what say you? Are you blessed? Not just as an American, not just because we know millions flock here, as I said, because of that one fact, but as a blood-bought child of God, that type of blessedness. And I want this message to resound in the depths of our heart this evening, hopefully, and bring us along with the praise that we can give to God. And that saving knowledge, which I never make assumptions. Or maybe to be reminded, renewed in what we have in him. Maybe we need to be reminded tonight. So, when we walk through Psalm 100, it would do us well to bring into remembrance, right, the very topic of admiring and regarding what he has to say. Well, the evidence we have here is we could find it in other places in Scripture. I understand that. But give us, hopefully, a renewed appreciation for the God that we serve. That would be all right. That would be a good thing. And the blessings we enjoy as recipients of grace and of mercy. I've been a recipient of grace and mercy. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Right away, I notice the purpose of this psalm. I see it. It's an expression of praise, right? Of blessedness that we enjoy. It's the reaping of the benefits that we have. And really, he's saying that is expressed with our mouths. Did you notice that? It's expressed with our tongues, with our lungs, and our singing, and our vocal cords. Amen. Our joyful noise. That proclamation corporately that we make when we sing congregationally, that would be an example of that. A special when it's sung, that would be an example of that. We find this important part of our worship as a collective group of voices, lifting our praise, our thanksgiving. That's literally the word here in verse 1. It's a genuine thankfulness. That's an important word. A genuine thankfulness for what God's already done, a genuine thankfulness for what God is currently doing, and a genuine thankfulness for what he's going to do. Amen. All of those and more. That thankfulness, we could say. A call for joy and for gratitude, to lift up our praises to God. That's what he says. So let's take notice, and we can number them this evening. We have 5 verses and 5 I could give you. But number 1 is what he just said. He said in verse 1, as the first command for us, make a joyful noise. So number 1, I call praise him with our lips. If you're taking notes, praise him with our lips. Use your voice. Use your lips. Use the things God gave you to bring praise and gratitude to him. Because he readily deserves it. And he deserves that this evening. Hey, if this message has fallen flat with us this evening, then maybe our gratitude meter is falling a little flat. Maybe, as my old pastor used to say, your wood is wet. It just needs to get dried out a little bit. Well, I wanted to see here what else we could praise him with. So notice verse number 2 with me, Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Number 1, praise him with your lips. But I also want to notice praise him with your life. Now we're really building on this. Praise him with your life. You know the Lord is calling for your service. You know the Lord is calling for my service. You know this is a church service. This is not a church sitting. I know you're sitting and I'm preaching. And I tell people all the time, we travel through the book of Luke. And there in the book of Luke, remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a young man, he's sitting down and everybody's standing. I said, one of these days I'm going to preach a message. I'm going to sit down and have everybody stand up. And I'm going to preach sitting down. I'm going to do that one, Dad. I don't know if that would ever go over real well. But I know you're sitting. But you didn't come to sit. It's a church service for a reason. You come to serve. But God has called each one of us to get involved. Amen. You know, you have a vacation Bible school. You have programs. You have things going on. To get involved. To use the gifts and the talents that he has bestowed upon us. You say, I don't have any. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And to not do it grudgingly. Well, if I have to, Pastor, I guess. But notice what he says. To do it with gladness. Amen. See that attitude? And listen, when our service becomes anything else for him, right? When we don't feel like being engaged or being involved to do his work, we're not doing it with gladness anymore. Be careful. Be careful when you find yourself there. I often liken our proximity to God as a mathematical equation. The constant and the variable, right? The constant does not change its value over time, by definition. A variable, on the other hand, changes its value, listen to it, dependent upon the equation, right? So, he's the constant. We're the variable, right? He hasn't moved. He hasn't changed his mind. His character has not been altered. But we have, depending on our equation. Listen to it, our circumstance. You're as close to God as you want to be tonight. So does our service include genuine gladness? Because that's the right fuel for the vessel. That's how we praise him with our life. All right, notice number three, verse three. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people, and the pasture of his, the sheep of his pasture, rather. Now the Lord is pointing to a relationship, right? And that's important because many today would try to seek after or despise religion. It's kind of two ends of the spectrum, right? Either if they're seeking after something, they don't know what it is, or they don't want anything to do with it. But it's religion. Listen, religion won't save anyone. Religion only brings with it the weights and the measures of man. That's all it brings. Traditions and rudiments of the world. That's all it brings. We had an air conditioner guy at our church about 2 weeks ago. He was working on some of our equipment there, and me and another gentleman from the church were talking to him. Invited him to come worship with us, and would you come to church with us? And he said, oh, I go to church. Oh, really? Where do you attend? He goes, I go to the Catholic Church. Ooh, ding, ding. We talked about a couple things, and the gentleman that was with me asked him a really good question in the midst of this conversation. He says, let me ask you something. If the Bible says something, and the church says something else, which one would you obey? And he kind of thought about that for a few seconds. He gave his answer. He said, I'd have to go with what the church says. Folks, that's religion. That's religion. God's not interested in your religion. I don't care if it's Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to blow up your church by conviction. But being a Baptist is not going to save you. He wants a relationship. That's what verse 3, I believe, is communicating. What's your relationship with God? Because that's really what will dictate the praise that you offer or withhold. Number one, praise him with your lips. Number two, praise him with your life. And notice with me that first part of verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Number three, praise him with your loyalty. Praise him with your loyalty. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Right? He deserves our loyalty. Amen. Right? To be reverenced, he's God. He's not your buddy. He's God. Now, there are men. There are men that desire this type of attention. There are men that desire this type of reverence. But you reserve this praise of loyalty to him. Only to him. This is the Lord in all caps. L-O-R-D. He created the heaven and the earth. Everything that we have, everything we enjoy has come from his hand. The same God that told Moses in Exodus 3, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Make sure you get all three of those in there, by the way. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Moses could do nothing except praise him with loyalty. You notice that? With reverence. Why? Because he's God. He's the Lord. Since we're on the topic of Moses, despite the fact that he is praising God at this moment, despite the fact that he is loyal, Moses does not seem too submissive shortly hereafter. And he will begin to make excuses, right? He will begin to explain why he cannot do what it is that God's calling him to do. That's hilarious to me. I've heard people do this. And listen to me, we can do the same exact thing. Come on, let's not. Well, how did that work out for Moses? Just following Moses' concerns and excuses as to why he can't fulfill these tasks that God has handed him and all, right? Well, I think 9 verses later, Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, the Bible says, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mightest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, listen to him, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Me? He said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses asks him, what name should I use? What designation should I use? And I love God's response. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. We hear you. We hear you. That's a good sound. But he is the I am. He is the one that has no creator. He is the creator. He's the only one, okay? The existing one. He is God, the God, ever existing and forever reigning. You believe that? Oh, yes. He tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He is A to Z, we could say, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. As a songwriter, always the same, oh, praise his name. Jesus never changes. He's always the same. He's the constant. We're the variable. Wait, Pastor. You said God, and now you just said Jesus. Which one is it? Yes. Think about John's reaction to such an introduction. Just a few verses down in Revelation chapter 1. The response he received will prove that fact for us. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, listen to him, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. This is God. This is Christ who laid down his life, defeated death to extend salvation to all. Listen, I don't care what the Calvinist says. No, really, I don't care what the Calvinist says. Christ died for all. Salvation has been offered and extended to all that will bow the knee today. Amen. To all that will come in humility and repentance to the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Have you ever done that? Great. When? Well, I've always sort of been a Christian, Pastor. No, you haven't. You need to be saved. Well, you know, my daddy, he was a preacher. No. That's not salvation. I've been in church since Slade has been in church. I mean, since I was in a car seat, I've been in church. No, you need to be saved. Because none of those things will save us, but Jesus of Nazareth, that's who will save us. Why? Because he's God. He's God. And that one statement would be problematic tonight for the Jehovah's Witness that probably comes knocking on your door. Because they would claim this evening that Jesus is not God. That's what they would say. They would say he is at best a teacher or a healer or an incredible prophet. But God? No, they will not say that. Do you see what religion does? It corrupts. It always leads us astray. It's the carrot on the stick pulling you away from the scriptures and away from the truth. You'll never catch it. Praise him with your loyalty. And don't ever let that loyalty be given to a man or a religion. And I promise you, you keep your eyes on a man, you serve a religion, and you'll get hurt, and you'll get burned or offended, and you certainly will be deceived, by the way. You get a real bad taste in your mouth from this thing called worship. And listen to me, that's not worship at all. That's not true worship. No. Why don't we just praise him with our loyalty? Praise him with our loyalty. And as Jesus Christ himself who said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. I am the Messiah. I am Jesus of Nazareth, that God. So praise him with your loyalty. We're doing good. Number one, praise him with your lips. Number two, praise him with your life. Number three, praise him with your loyalty. Now verse three, let's notice this. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. I don't care what the evolutionist says. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. How about number four? Praise him with your likeness. See, what do you mean? God is your creator, my creator, and you were created in his image. You know how humbling that is? Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You have to say that today too. 20 years ago, I read this verse and thinking to myself, I wonder why he put that in there. Now I know why. But what an amazing thought. Verse 3 says that he hath made us and not we ourselves. The Bible has established our ways. He created you with a purpose in his own image. Praise him for your likeness, for your likeness. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. So we're not like any other of his creation. Not at all. No, we have dominion. We have a conscience. We have a spiritual likeness bundled with a will. And just because we were created of God doesn't mean that we're a child of God. We're back to that again. Galatians 3:26 is my proof for that. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how. So when we were rescued, when we entered the family of God through Jesus Christ, I'm so glad there was a servant one day that brought me the gospel that I needed to hear. 1997 is when the gospel was brought to my ears. 27-year-old man with no interest in the Bible, no even Bible knowledge, forget interest. My life changed. See, our life should change. You show me a man, you show me a woman, you show me a teenager who claims they are saved and that has little to no change in their life, and I will immediately ask them, as Paul would command them at the church of Corinth, to examine yourselves, right? Whether ye be in the faith. That's a good thing to say, to ask. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Check yourself. Remember Romans 12:2, that infamous two verse, Romans 2:1 and 2. Be transformed, Paul said. You know, that metamorphosis, that's the word, that's where we get that word, that's taking place. Well, our likeness is a new assignment. We are now to live to that very likeness. The evidence should be real. It should be a genuine praise. We're staying on topic. Praise. The Bible says if you know him as Savior, that you have been purchased. You say, I haven't been purchased. I'm my own person. Oh, no. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Listen to him. He says, for ye are bought with a price. You know what that price was? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. At Freedom Baptist Church, I'm the under-shepherd. Pastor Foster is the under. He's the one really in charge. He's the chief shepherd. He cares for us. He protects us. He chastens us. He feeds us. He rescues us. He watches over us. He gave his life for you. Praise him with your likeness. It's the least we can do. Paul said it's our reasonable service. Appropriately, he died for you. That's what that term Christ-likeness is really all about, right? We're not just bought by his precious blood to just kind of get a seat on the bus to heaven. Hey, you don't want to go to hell, right? Yeah, pray this prayer after me. Good, you're all set. Go live any way you want. Really? That's as deep as Christianity is? No, that's not Christ-likeness. That price was paid and now brings a likeness, an image. The Bible calls it an ambassadorship, if you will. It's an attitude of praise. And all of that is really inseparable from that life. Well, bless God, Pastor, I'm just grumpy all the time. I'm not singing congregationally when they sing, I'm just going to sit here. Well, go ahead. Miss all the blessings. Miss all the opportunity to make a joyful noise unto the Lord because he deserves it. That went over well. Let's see what Psalm 100 sees for the rest of us here. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. That's the understatement of the all time. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to most generations. Is that what your Bible says? All generations. Praise him with your lips, with your life, with your loyalty. Praise him with your likeness. And now number 5, finally, praise him with your longevity. Could I ask you to do that? It's a privilege at our church just recently to celebrate a retirement party for a couple in our church. Precious couple. They retired right around the same time, just a few weeks apart from each other. And the prayer and the charge that I gave to them was to finish well. Finish well, to be able to enter his gates with thanksgiving and be thankful, right? Paul would tell as a testimony to his young Timothy, of course, and for us to emulate, certainly. He said in 2 Timothy 4, for I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul is almost ready to leave this earth. You know what he says? I have fought a good fight. Amen. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's not a prideful statement. It's not pride. You know how else you could praise him? Praise him with your longevity. Your longevity. See, it's one thing to stay in the race for a little while. It's one thing even to stay in there for a long while. But what about when things get hard? Because things are going to get hard sometimes. What about when we fall down or others hurt us, right? Life gets busy or we get distracted or the pulls and the desires. Ask Demas how that goes. Or whatever it is, fill in the blank. But when that happens, and we are not praising him with our longevity, and we will allow that to happen, well, then basically what we're saying is our praise kind of has an expiration date. That's kind of when it. That's not what Christ died for. Right. I want to be able to get to the end of my days, whenever that is. And my son's right here. You can tell him I have not lived a perfect life. None of us have. Well, whenever that is, and be able to echo the words the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. Hey, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Be able to praise him with longevity. So let's run the list. Run the list and tell me how you're doing. Or actually, don't tell me. Tell the Lord, right? Tell him with all sincerity how we are doing tonight. Praise him with your lips. What do you find your lips saying? Where is the praise that he deserves in our speech? When we speak, where's the praise when we sing congregationally? You ought to have some good singers this Sunday now. Just hope. And don't let the world distort that. Don't let the world bore you with the hymns of the faith or anything like that. No, think about what the words you're saying. Maybe that's what you need. And then check ourselves. How about number 2? We saw this already. Praising with your life. Because we could talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? Sundays, we can do real good. You're here on Wednesday, so kudos. But what about Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? What about those days? What does our life look like? Our life. We should be praising him with that. Praise him with your life. How about our loyalty? Give him and give him alone the due reverence and loyalty he deserves, right? Stop making excuses by why we're not praising or serving him because of what some man said or did to us or what some religion taught us and we were burned. And listen, I've heard it all. I've been the recipient of it all. Maybe not at all, but a lot. But we get our eyes and we get our distractions off of what the main thing, you know what the main thing is? It's Jesus. Keep the main thing the main thing. Redirect our focus, redirect our praise, and praise him with our loyalty. And you know what he'll do? He'll receive you with arms wide open when we need to get back. Remember the prodigal, Luke 15, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. That means his father's waiting for him, right? And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His son was returning to his father to a place he should have been in the first place. We know that. And he receives him without reservation, without condition. Hey, praise him with your loyalty. How about praise him with your likeness? God created you and I for his glorification. That's why you're here. See, I'm not sure why I'm here. It's to glorify God. Let's just start right there. In his image. Hey, praise him in that likeness, right? It's an amazing thought. I think it is. If it's an amazing thought for you, then praise him for it. And then lastly, with the endurance to keep on, keeping on, we could say, praise him with your longevity. We have some younger people in this room. We have some older people in this room. I don't know where you stand. I don't know where you fall into that. I'm certainly not going to point your fingers out and try to guess your age or where you're at in life. But praise him with your longevity. Whether you're at the closing season of your life or you're just getting started, praise him with your longevity. Finish your course. Don't quit early. Amen. Fight the good fight. Don't get burned out. Don't get offended. Do it with joy, with gladness. Praise him with longevity. And I'll tell you what, let me just give you this. If you do this last one, the rest will take care of themselves. Let me say that again. If you do this last one, if you praise him with longevity the proper way, the rest will kind of take care of themselves. So, how do we praise the Lord? Well, I think we have it here. I think we have a pretty good formula in Psalm 100. Thank you now, Lord, for this truth. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to open the Word tonight. I thank you for the attentiveness of God's people and their desire to know your Word better. Thank you for this place where people can come and be recharged and reminded, where they can be encouraged and sharpened, challenged and convicted. And whatever the need is tonight, I pray that our wills would be conformed to that which you would desire tonight. We certainly pray for this outreach coming up tomorrow. And Lord, I think of the gladness that's going to be needed to serve these children as they come in. And Lord, we could just keep on going on to every area of ministry in this local church, and we could thank you for those, but Lord, unless we have glad servants that are doing it for the right reasons and doing it with their lips and their longevity, Lord, it'll only be for man. Let it be for you. Lord, as a result, we could give you the glory you deserve. We would reverence you properly, and we would leave this place reminded of why we came. In Jesus' name, amen.